Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to everyone listening in today, and what a beautiful day it is. I'm Betty Knighton, author, publisher, and motivational speaker. I'm honored to be with you today as your host, Sharon Jackson as your co-host, as we continue our journey through Think and Grow Rich. This book is life-changing, and there are thousands of testimonies to support that fact. Sharon, are you on?
Betty, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. I was starting to tell our listeners about the chapter on faith where we are going today. Would you like to continue that conversation?
Yes, I would. This is a wonderful chapter from a wonderful book, and there are thousands and thousands of testimonies to attest to that. It is so important that I think what we'll do is go back and review the very first sentence in the faith chapter, because it is so significant, so important. So on page 45, that first sentence says that the second sentence says that when faith is blended with the vibration of thought, the subconscious mind instantly picks up the vibration, translates it into its spiritual equivalent, and then transmits it to infinite intelligence, as in the case of prayer. Now, you can say infinite intelligence, you can say your creator, you can say God, you can say whatever, but this is a proven fact. And there are some strong emotions that we have, but the most powerful of those positive emotions are faith, love, and sex. Now, we know that faith and love has to do with our spiritual side, and then the sex has to do with our biological and our physical side. So basically, this is the mind. Now, people talk about faith all the time. We hear ministers, we hear pastors and people of religion saying, oh, you just need to have faith, or have faith that your light bill will be paid, or have faith that you will get that new job, or have faith that you'll find a husband. But the thing is, they never tell you how to develop that faith. It's not enough to know that you need the faith. You need to know how to develop it. And this book tells us how to develop faith. See, faith is a state of mind. It can be induced or created by affirmation or repeated instruction to the subconscious mind. And that's why in Mastermind we use affirmations religiously, because we are programming our subconscious mind. It says right there that faith can be induced or created by affirmations. In other words, positive self-talk. I will lose weight. I am losing weight, instead of I want to lose weight. Because when you say I want to do something, that's showing lack, L-A-C-K. You have to desire to do it in order to do it. Let's move on. Page 46, I have highlighted here, repetition or affirmation of order to your subconscious mind is the only method of voluntary development of the emotion of faith. It didn't say one of the methods. It said the only method. There is an example given here that makes this meaning clearer, because it explains how individuals sometimes become criminals. And I know this is a review, but I think it's important that we go back and review this, because a famous criminologist said when people first come in contact with crime, they hate it. But if they stay there, if they remain in contact with crime for a while, they become so accustomed to it that they become a part of it. And a good example is years and years ago, we had the heir to a fortune, Patty Hearst. Patty Hearst was the daughter of the newspaper magnate, Mr. Hearst. She was kidnapped, taken hostage, and she stayed with her hostage so long until she began to become a part of them. She even helped them rob a bank. Because she was in their presence for so long, she took on their characteristics, she took on their actions. That's why we have to be so careful about who we surround ourselves with. We need to surround ourselves with like-minded, like-spirited people. So that's an important concept. Now, an appropriate place in which to suggest again is right here, that you may benefit by passing on to your subconscious mind any desire. That was covered in the first chapter. Any desire which you wish translated into its physical or monetary equivalent, okay, in a state of expectancy or belief that the transmutation will actually take place. Now, that's on page 47, and this is something where I want to make this statement. It's not only those thought impulses which have been mixed with faith, but those that, which have been mixed with any of the other positive emotions. We have a choice, in other words. We can choose to be negative, or we can choose to be positive. We have to be careful. And when we talk about these affirmations, and we talk about people who just have such negative thoughts, they believe they're doomed, oh, I'll never be able to do that, I don't have the ability, I don't have the money, I can't do this, I can't do that, they will end up failing because they have said they're going to fail. They believe they're going to fail. This is why we have to teach our children to be positive, because it's going to be important to them for the rest of their lives. Now, one important concept is that we can trick, or in other words, we can deceive our subconscious mind. Just like Napoleon Hill, the author of this book, just like he did his son who was born without ears. He deceived him into thinking, you can do anything, you can hear. And sure enough, that young man was able to do anything because he was taught that he could do anything, because he believed that he could do anything, because it settled into his subconscious. That's what we have to do with our children, and not just our children, but ourselves. Now, to make this deceit subconscious more realistic, we have to conduct ourselves when we call on our subconscious mind as if you're already in possession of the material which you are demanding. Now, Sharon, if you have a comment, now just jump in here. If any callers have a comment at this point. Now, we're going to page 48, and one thing I wanted to bring out was that if you have, you've got to have a starting point, okay? You've got to mix faith with any order given to your subconscious mind. And this is something that we have to practice. It doesn't happen the first time we try to do it. We have to do things repeatedly. We have to practice. Perfection comes through practice. I heard someone say, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Absolutely.
And so we need to be aware of that. Now, if anybody wants to make a comment,
absolutely, Betty. That is incredible. And you must have been listening to my mind when you said perfect practice makes perfect. You can practice. It's kind of like golfers. That's the reason why it's so hard when you take classes. You think you're a good golfer until you take a class. And they change everything. Because for you, unless you get the perfect swing, you can't be a winner. So it's perfect practice making makes perfect activities. And so repetition, when you do it, it must be done correctly. We must have Dr. Mia Merritt on one morning because she talked to me one evening about how she, every morning before she gets up, she meditates.
Mm-hmm.
She dips into her faith. She goes into the spirit or into the supernatural, into the infinite, and that's how she pulls things through. So, I mean, that is an interesting exercise that our listeners may want to hear. Again, before I hand it back over to Betty, I want to make sure that you remember to press 1 if you would like to make a comment on anything that our host has to say. Back to you, Betty.
Okay. Now, a very important statement. Faith is a state of mind, which may be induced by autosuggestion. Now, autosuggestion is something that we're going to cover in the next chapter, but it is so important that it is introduced in the faith chapter because faith and autosuggestion go hand in hand. We've already said that how it works, that you keep repeatedly feeding things into your subconscious mind, it will become reality. Now, in language, which any normal human being can understand, this book is so great because it describes everything that is known about the principle that faith can be developed where it does not already exist. Now, it's one thing to tell a person have faith if they already have some semblance of faith, but what about a person who has no faith at all? Where do they start? Now, before we start with this process, we have to be reminded again that faith is the eternal elixir, which gives life, power, and to the impulse of thought. Now, elixir means medicinal solution. And he talks about eternal elixir. He is talking about eternal solution. And it says it gives life. It gives power and to the impulse of thought. So that sentence is worth reading over and over again until it sinks into your subconscious. Now, he has some other sentences here that I think is really worth reading aloud. And I'm going to read them. There are about 6 of them, and they're on page 49 in our textbook. I just like to read these 6 sentences because I think they are very, very important. That faith is the starting point of all accumulation of riches. Just think of that. It's a starting point. Then it says faith is the basis of all miracles and all mysteries which cannot be analyzed by the rules of science. There's some things that science cannot explain. So you go back to miracles. But with no faith, there are no miracles because faith is the basis of all miracles. And then it says faith is the only known antidote for failure. Boy, that says it all. The only known antidote for failure. Faith is the element, the chemical, which when mixed with prayer, is one direct communication, infinite intelligence. So you will have a direct line of communication, infinite intelligence, if you mix faith with prayer. Now, as I said, you can call infinite intelligence God, your creator, but there is a direct line to infinite intelligence with those two elements, faith mixed with prayer. Not prayer without faith, that's meaningless. And not faith without prayer. Put the two of them together, and that gives you power. Now, faith is the element which transforms the ordinary vibration of thought created by the finite human mind into its spiritual equivalent. And it ends by saying faith is the only agency to which the cosmic force of infinite intelligence can be harnessed and used by humanity. Look at what we have available to us. Everything we need. Faith combined with prayer gives us a direct line to the one who can solve all of our problems. So all of these statements can be proven. There are many, many testimonies going back to these statements. Now, if anyone on the line wants to make a comment, you can do it now.
Oh, thank you, Betty. I am just, I'm sorry, I was so involved in exactly what you were saying until I didn't come on. Faith absolutely is the starting point of everything. Doesn't matter what it is that you're doing. A lot of people think that, you know, you only use faith for positive things. And actually, faith can be positive or negative. So
absolutely.
So careful about where you're going with your mouth when you're
okay.
going like all the time about
okay.
I'm a horrible speaker, you know. Okay, you're prophesying over yourself. What you need to do is not be afraid of that and just realize that you were made, you were designed to be an incredible speaker. No, I'm horrible at math. Oh, no, you were designed to be a great math person. You, what you do is you develop those things that you are very, very good in, and you manage the things that you aren't so great in. So, but faith is in everything. It doesn't matter. Just excellent, excellent comment. Just a reminder to everyone that if you would like to make a comment on the call, press 1 and you will be placed in the queue and I will open up your mic. For everyone, it's also important for you to remember that this talk today, our journey through Think and Grow Rich, is sponsored by the International Mastermind Association. And if you would like to look us up, we are on www.internationalmasterminders.com. Back to you, Betty.
Thank you, Sharon. Now, this proof of these faith comments is simple, and it can be easily demonstrated. It all goes back to what we talked about, auto-suggestion. It's all tied in with that. Now, let me give you an example. If a person believes whatever he repeats to himself, it doesn't matter if it's true. It doesn't matter if it's false. If you keep repeating it to yourself, you're going to believe it. Now, there are some people who are, I guess we can call them liars. They'll tell a lie so many times until they actually start thinking that it's true, which goes to show you that this works in a positive situation as well as a negative situation. So why not just keep it on the positive side? Now, here's a very significant statement of truth that he mentions on the bottom of page 49 of the faith chapter. He says, thoughts which are mixed with any of the feelings or the emotions constitute a magnetic force which attracts other similar or related thoughts. That is a powerful, powerful statement. All of our thoughts should be emotionalized. When we're doing our self-talk or our affirmations, we should do it with feeling. We should do it with emotion. Because just saying it like you're reading a sentence, that doesn't work. It's got to be emotionalized. So a thought thus magnetized with emotion can be compared with the seed. You plant the seed in fertile soil, it germinates. And it grows, and it grows, and it multiplies itself over and over again. And just to look at the final result, it's amazing to think that all of that came from one little seed. It's like the mighty oak tree came from one little acorn. That's the same thing with a positive thought that has been magnetized into a magnetic force. So let's move on to page 50, and it talks about human experience and human thinking and how it occurs in the environment and how it's saturated with energy and signals. This is something that we need to understand. We need to understand that from gravity to magnetism, from cosmic rays to X-rays and infrared rays, and all of these other things, we live in a world that's bombarded by vibrations. There are all kinds of vibrations of energy. We are surrounded by energetic fields. And most of us can only perceive directly just a tiny, tiny portion of them. But these vibrations of energy are very important because they help us to reach that place that we're trying to get. We're trying to get to that place where we move in a positive environment, where we think positive, where we act in a positive manner, where we have fed our subconscious until it's just bursting over with positivity. And we actually have kicked out and evicted negativity. So we're going to talk a little bit about the self-confidence formula because this is something that is a part of it. Self-confidence goes back to little children. If they're not confident about something, they won't attempt to branch out and explore and do things. That's why at an early age we need to teach our children to be self-confident. We need to affirm them positively and teach them how to affirm themselves positively. So we're going to look at this self-confidence formula on page 51. And the first thing is, it says, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. So pay attention to what that said. It says, I know I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose. Therefore, what does that tell you? You have to have a definite purpose. Before you even do this self-confidence formula, your definite purpose has to be in place. Second, I realize that the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clearer mental picture of that person. Our co-host, Sharon Jackson, mentioned Dr. Mia Merritt and what she does in the morning. That meditation in the morning for at least 30 minutes helps get your thinking in place, and it sets the tone and the pattern for your full day. Third, I know that through the principle of auto-suggestion, auto-suggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily in demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth step, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Now, that definite chief aim, I believe, was covered in the first chapter, and all of us, every listener on this call, should take the time to sit down and develop your definite chief aim. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction that does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. Now, this is important. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. And finally, the sixth one says, I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. This sixth step really holds us accountable. Because when we formulate this self-confidence formula, we've got to actually sign our name to it. That's saying, okay, I commit to this. I am dedicated to this. I am going to do this. Now, back of this formula is a law of nature that nobody has been able to explain. All we know is that it works. We don't have to know the how, and we don't have to know the why. There are scientists who are still trying to figure it out. All we need to know is that it works. So now psychologists have called this the law of auto-suggestion, and that's okay. We really don't care what they call it. All we care is that we have access to this, and we can use it to better our lives, meet our goals, meet our life plans, and better ourselves. So any comments, Sharon?
Absolutely. This is very good. This is a review for those people that were on 2 weeks ago. Remember, we went over the 6 action steps for desire, and this is very similar to what you do for desire. Writing it down, making it plain, creating a definite plan, which is exactly what you're doing here in faith. And it's also very important because 2 pages ago, we talked about, particularly, I'm referring to your idea of we eliminate all those negative thoughts, the hatred, the jealousy, the selfishness from our minds, because it says thoughts which are mixed with any of the feelings of emotions constitutes a magnet force which attracts other similar or related thoughts. So what's so important about what Betty is talking about this morning is not only just a small magnet, and I think that everybody has seen magnets, and that how it attracts anything that is metal, anything that is like itself, it attracts it, just pulls it with great force. Well, now you're talking about something mixed with a relation, with emotion, which creates a giant magnet. And it brings all those things. And that's the reason why you eliminate them. You eliminate hatred because mixed with emotion, hatred attracts more hatred. It attracts more jealousy. It attracts more selfishness. It attracts all the things that you naturally want to get away from. So this, if you do nothing else, when you get off this call today, read this page again, then read it again, and then read it again. And then do all of the 6 steps that Betty has gone over with you, because at the end of the day, you need to put together a 6-step plan that you have put emotion to, you have put desire to, and you have gone through the meditation time that Betty has talked about, and you sign your name. That's a life contract that's going to change your life forever. Remember to push 1 if you would like to be on the queue. And then again this day, for our last 15 minutes that are left on this workshop, is being brought to you by International Mastermind. One more time. If you would like to look for us, the International Masterminders, we are on www.internationalmasterminders.com. Back to you, Betty.
Thank you, Sharon. Excellent, excellent comments. Now, we have to say here that positive and negative are accepted the same in your subconscious mind. It is our choice how we program our subconscious mind. So if we use this law of auto-suggestion destructively, it can destroy just as easily as a positive manner can build. So there's a significant truth here that those who go out on the street and end their lives in poverty and misery and distress, they do so because of the way they have applied this law of auto-suggestion. And even if you check pages of medical history, you'll find situations where the power of suggestion and auto-suggestion was very important. There was a man mentioned in the book who had a great financial reversal, and he really killed himself by saying, oh, you know, this is going to kill me, this is going to kill me, I cannot stand the disgrace. And sure enough, in a few days, he died. Now, for those of us who understand the importance of how our minds are programmed, all the good in the world, I can remember whose mother had been at terminal. She had a terminal illness. He said to the doctor, do not tell her she has a terminal illness. Do not tell her. He brought to the hospital positive messages, movies that made her laugh. Sure enough, she recovered. Now, what have happened if the doctor had said, oh, you're terminal? Then her mind would have gone to work. Oh, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. And pretty soon, but because her son understood this law of auto-suggestion, understood how the subconscious mind works, he reversed that by bringing a totally different message than the doctors had. So we have to be mindful that if we fill our mind with fear and doubt and unbelief, then that's what we're going to get. Those are the results that we are going to get, okay? So even in the world of Christianity, we look at page 55, where it tells us that if you wish evidence of the power of faith, then study the achievements of men and women who have employed it. Study the Nazarenes. Study Jesus the Christ. Because Christianity is one of the greatest single forces ever to influence the minds of people. It's built on faith. It is faith. So it's the cornerstone. And it's not just Christianity. Faith is the cornerstone of every great religion. Even in the Old Testament, it says, oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. He didn't say the Lord preserveth the doubtful. He said the Lord preserveth the faithful. And then the Apostle Luke tells us, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders. It's all about faith. You've got to have faith in yourself and your ability, because you know what? When you doubt yourself and you doubt your ability, you are doubting your Creator, because your Creator endowed you with greatness, endowed you with ability. And when you don't take that faith along with love and along with auto-suggestion and use it to the max to be the best that you can be, then you are not doing service to your Creator. Let's go on to page 56. It says the faith of each is in accord with one's own nature. A person is known by the faith. And a good example is Mahatma Gandhi of India. He didn't have a lot of power. He didn't have money and battleships and soldiers. He didn't have materials of warfare. He didn't even have a home. He didn't even own a suit of clothes. But did he have power? Yes, he had power. How did he come by it? The same way that we can come by it. He created it out of his understanding of the principle of faith and through his ability to transplant that faith into the minds of, listen, 200 million people. Not 10,000, not 100,000, 200 million people. And how did he accomplish this? Through the influence of faith that which the strongest military power on earth could not then and never will accomplish through soldiers and military equipment, because it doesn't come through soldiers. It doesn't come through military equipment. This is a mind thing. Your mind is powerful. He accomplished the astounding feat of influencing 200 million minds. To do what? To coalesce and move in unison as a single mind. Can you imagine the power of 200 million minds moving as one mind? One mind. That is power. There's no other force on earth. No other force on earth that could do that like faith. Now, on the bottom of page 56, chapter It says that day is dawning. Yes, Sharon, you want to say something?
Can I add one more story? I'm sorry for interrupting. I really, I'd like to add one more story. We had a gentleman who was a military figure. He came to speak to us. And he said, sometimes young military people, don't have faith in themselves, which is so important for them to have faith in me. He said, I know what I can do because I have lived it. I have breathed it. I have gone through it. So he said, I always have them look at me. And they follow me and do what I say until they have faith in themselves, and then they move forward. And so that is, you know, one of the things. Sometimes we start off and we don't have faith in ourselves, but you know what? There's always that one person that has experience. And he said, Sharon, I made them look at me. I made them look at me because I know. I've seen it myself. And we moved forward, and I saw them. I saw the light come on. One boy at a time, one girl at a time. Well, men and women, if you're in the service. But he said, I saw it come, the light come on one at a time. When they realized that the actions and the activities work. When you look at our presidents, the famous presidents, and you start reading their stories, they all read. They all read history. And the reason why they read history and about individuals is because it's important for them to know what works. And so that's all I wanted to say. It's because sometimes people start off not having faith in themselves. But when they look and they practice and they monitor people such as yourself that have had a measure of faith doing these exact things, the light comes on. Just want to remind you, Betty, that we have 6.5 minutes for the program.
Okay, we're getting ready to wind down, but I just want to say that this faith is powerful, and there's going to come a time when employees as well as employers will discover the possibilities of faith. It is interesting that this book was written so many years ago, in the early 1900s it was written, but even then, he made a statement that says, the whole world has had ample opportunity during the recent worldwide economic downturn to witness what the lack of faith will do to business. And guess what? We are in another economic downturn. 100 years later, the same situation. It goes back. We've got to have faith in our businesses. We've got to have faith in our abilities, because fear can paralyze a nation. If all of us dwell on fear, we're in an economic downturn, and unemployment is so high, if all we do is fear it, then it will get worse. It will paralyze us. We already have a situation where they have a committee. It's paralyzed. They can't make a decision. It's fear. It's fear of what's going to happen if they make this decision, or fear of what's going to happen if they make that decision. It can paralyze the wheels of industry and business. So we're going to just close out by saying that you've got to mix faith with prayer, with love, because if you continue to read on in this chapter, you will find out about a businessman, Charles Schwab, who mixed faith with an idea and ended up creating a company, called United States Steel, one of the biggest companies at that time. This is when they first started talking about trust and breaking up companies that were too big. This became one of those companies, all because a young 38-year-old man mixed faith with an idea. So we're going to close out. But just be reminded that you need to read your book, continue to read. We will be ready to move into auto-suggestion next week. And just remember, this book that we're journeying through, Think and Grow Rich, has changed thousands and thousands of lives, we can be, will be, and are among the lives that are being changed for the better. Thank you for allowing me to be your host today. It has been my pleasure to serve as your host. And just remember, think and grow rich every day. Think and grow rich. Sharon?
Very good, Betty. I just appreciate you. I appreciate your the time that you put in and the obvious thought that you have put into this last 27 minutes. And I just wanted to follow up by saying this meeting has been brought, this show has been brought to you by the International Masterminders, which is the voice of the Mastermind associations across the world. We have been developed by our founding person was Ann McNeil, who started International Masterminders about 25 years ago, and she is the master builder of Masterminds. We want to thank you, and remember that we will be here next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock to finish the chapter on faith and to create a foundation, which Betty has already begun to create a foundation on auto-suggestion, and we will continue journeying through Think and Grow Rich. We will finish the chapter on faith, and we will probably begin the chapter 3 on auto-suggestion. Thank you very much, and this is Blog Talk Radio, and we will see you next week. Again, thank you so much, Betty.